This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Good morning. Welcome to another edition of MIP on 89.3 FM, Pacifica Radio, and we're streaming live across our media as well this morning. Please do spread the word. We're going to have a very important conversation. No stranger. She joined us several weeks ago, but there's been a much anticipated report released by Onyx Impact. And we want to talk about it. The Blackout Report with our dear sister, Isosa Osa of Onyx Impact. Sister Isosa, how are you this morning?
I am wonderful. I am blessed. Thank you so much for having me again today. Very, very excited, as always, to join this show.
Well, and thankful to have you with us. For those who may not remember, who may not know, first of all, tell everyone about Onyx Impact and what it does, what its mission is.
Absolutely. Onyx Impact, we are a nonpartisan nonprofit organization whose mission is to fight information threats targeting Black communities, to fight mis- and disinformation, and to amplify Black truth and amplify Black voices.
Amen, amen. And that's so important. And folks, if you don't know it, you'll know it by the end of this, the war that is being waged against us. And, you know, whenever I share that with people, I quote you all the time. You know, I be in meetings all the time. And I say, y'all heard of Onyx Impact? Let me tell you what they're doing. And, you know, people are left really shocked because people sometimes don't realize the extent of the disinformation war that is being waged against us. But I want to get into all that. The Blackout Report, you all, has been released. And we want to get into that. And first of all, how did this report come about? What were some of the things that motivated Onyx Impact to even do this kind of report at this time?
That's right. So the Blackout Report by Onyx Impact is the most comprehensive analysis that has been done this year on the attacks on Black progress that are being fueled by this disinformation campaign around the term DEI, using that term as a smokescreen to really erode all types of Black investment, Black funding, suppressed Black voices. And we decided that this was necessary to fundamentally do because we saw this conversation, this false conversation, right, around what DEI was or was not, right? And as long as they were able to create this kind of culture war conversation, is this about, you know, stuff that only white women get? Is this about corporate classes that suck, right? They were able to strip $70 million of funding from Black communities to prevent flooding, right? To prevent the next Katrina. They were able to strip tens of millions of dollars from funding to reduce asthma rates and for Black kids, right? It was insane seeing $3.4 billion, what ended up being $3.4 billion at least in investment slashed to Black communities, right? Behind this guise, this smokescreen, this Trojan horse of DEI.
Yeah. So we want to get into this, and folks, those of you watching online, you see the introductory page of the report. First of all, you can follow along with, and I love Jackie Robinson opens the report. You must have done that with me and my son in mind. But go to blackoutreport.org, folks, so you can be interactive with us and follow right along. This is very, very sobering in terms of what it is that we are facing right now as a people. When we're talking about three, is the right term pillars or three operations, I should say. Is that better?
That's correct.
Erasing, distorting, and suppressing. The real world cost of erasing, distorting, and suppressing, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, a compelling number before us that you share, Esosa, 15,723 distinct impact points, each one an instance in which Black opportunities, lives, or histories have been directly attacked. Over what period of time are we looking at?
We are literally just looking at the last 9 months.
Okay. And that's 15,000 in just 9 months.
9 months.
Amazing. So let's get started with the operation. When we look at it, are we talking about when we're talking about erasure, what do we mean? And I see there's some numbers up here we'll share with the audience. We're talking about erasure in what regard? How are they erasing?
When we talk about erasure, we are talking about the deletion. This is what, you know, a lot of folks have heard of but they haven't seen the scale. We're talking about the erasure of Black heroes from government websites. We're talking about statues of Black history, not just being removed, but being replaced by Confederacy statues in our museums. We're talking about the massive deletion of we're talking about the banning of over nearly 600 books by Black authors, the restriction of knowledge of our history and our culture. What must be the impetus, the motivation behind saying that we don't want our children to read books about Black people, about written by Black authors, right? This is an extremely insidious campaign, and so we start with erasure. We start with these 1,362 individual points of erasure. And again, if there's one thing that Onyx Impact is going to bring, it's going to be receipts, right? And so we have the full database available on blackoutreport.org for folks to see exactly how we came up with all of these numbers.
So when we're talking about the erasure, we're talking about the book banning and what's been taken out of schools and libraries primarily, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And this is just in the past 9 months of the Trump administration. How do we know how much of an impact this is having? Are we able to, in that erasure tactic, are we able to measure that in real time?
So we can measure the, and we do in other areas, we can measure the curriculum changes. I think we have seen what the effects of the erasure of Black history has meant when you look at, you know, points in time like post-Reconstruction, like the Nadir, right? There's a reason we learned so little about Reconstruction. We learned so little about the significant advancements that Black folks were able to make during that time. And I think a lot of folks, you know, don't know because it is not taught how quickly that progress was rolled back.
Indeed. Is this ongoing, Esosa?
This is ongoing. You know, we have over 14,000 examples of distortion, some of the most significant and malicious changes. This is, you know, deleting or distorting data sets with Black information. You know, you hide the data, you erase the proof of inequality, of disparity, and then you prevent the remedy, right? We have these 15,723 are the result of one research team, right? Going through as much data as we could relative to not just an entire administration pushing this in full force as doctrine, replacing evidence with ideology. We are seeing it repeated on both the state and local level. And so this number is increasing substantially every single day.
1,362 erasure impact point folks, including 723 digital erasures across 10 agencies and 22 websites, 41 physical site changes, and 591 book bans. In terms of the digital erasures, are we talking about anything referencing DEI in general, or are we also talking about African-American contributions to history that have also been erased from these websites?
It is very, very, very much the latter. You don't need the stuff that they are deleting. Many of the pages have nothing to do with the words DEI. We are literally just talking about Black heroes that saved lives during our wars or in our history being deleted for no other reason than that they exemplified Black excellence.
And we're talking about, and I'm just reading from the report, folks, at least 35 key historical figures.
That's correct.
Have been removed, and narratives spanning more than 250 years have been disappeared from before the Revolutionary War to the present. 31 examples in which the Department of Defense deleted pages honoring Black military heroes, including Jackie Robinson, the Tuskegee Airmen, Army Major General Charles C. Rogers, the highest ranking Black serviceman to receive the Medal of Honor. The Joint Force Quarterly, a publication of the National Defense University, removed articles and entire editions, including a 2023 issue with a cover story on Black soldiers and the promise of America. And the Secretary of Defense has openly encouraged this, has he not?
Yes, they have. And it is not just one of the things that we wanted to make sure people understood is that this is so much broader than just the anti-historicization, the deletion of Black history. They are actively encouraging all of those removals, and at the same time, they are actively, you know, cutting millions and millions and millions of dollars from Black specific programs for to that are investing in Black neighborhoods.
So as we look at some of the other banning and distortions, there have been book bans as well at the Department of
Defense. That's correct.
A long list of books, including the titles of History of Racism in America, Smart Girls Guide to Race and Inclusion, Standing Up to Racism and Building a Better World, African Americans and Latinx History in the United States, and Coping with Racial Inequality. DEI, which frankly is we know was a term that came out of George Floyd that wasn't necessarily our term, but it was a term more palatable apparently to corporate America. So as far as I see, when you say I'm against DEI, you're against affirmative action or just equity, so to speak, in general. But there's not a small number of African-Americans in the Department of Defense anyway. We're talking about a sizable number. We're represented, that we are in the military. So, and that was before George Floyd. So when you erase all of this, obviously all of these things were on the website and in the book, in the library, on the shelves, because of our cumulative history in the U.S. military, weren't they? This is not something that just popped up in the past 4 years for them to go back and erase.
100%. I mean, they are removing the Black presence from long-term public memory. This is, again, from what you said, from our earliest wars. Like, you cannot tell the history of America without telling the history of Black America. You can't, there is no full American story without Black folks, you know, at the center. And so what does it mean to greenlight this level of erasure? We know that that is the first step to a broad scale exclusion from not just our past, but our future.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Blackoutreport.org. Looking also at erasure when it comes to historical artifacts, at least 32 Black history artifacts previously on display at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History have been removed, including Harriet Tubman's Book of Hymns and a first edition copy of the memoir Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass. That's just to name a couple of them. Two federal grants to the Whitney Plantation in Louisiana have been rescinded. Other museum exhibits across the country have been cut entirely, including an exhibit of Afro-Latino, Caribbean, and Black artists at the Art Museum of the Americas.
Right.
And the exhibition Rooted West, 20th Century African-American Quilts in California by the Berkeley Art Museum and Pacific Film Archive. Onyx Impact found 48 erasures in 5 states in the District of Columbia. Of Black identity from physical location. We know about the Black Lives Matter removal in Washington, D.C. And so this list is goes on and on. All of this is targeted. And folks, this report is important because it's not being reported in the news every day the way it should be.
That's right.
This is something that has to be shared. Tell us more about what you all found with this, with the erasures in the museums and the other physical locations.
Yeah, it is. Again, I think one of the most kind of insidious things about these physical locations is so many locations were not. It was not just Black statues or symbols being removed. It was they were being replaced with Confederate monuments or soldiers that we've never glorified before. And I think, you know, there is a goal when they believe that when they can when they can fade our civic memory, that that's going to lead to a fading of our motivation, our motivation to challenge injustice, to reclaim our power. But this is so anti-American, like the restricting access to knowledge fundamentally is at odds with the principles of any type of a free society. They are trying to control the truth in the future, but deleting this data, deleting these books, deleting our, that is not deleting reality, right? That is just manipulating the present and the future.
The Jefferson Memorial, and folks, I have the report on the screen if you want to join with us. Also, you can go to blackoutreport.org. The Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. was scheduled to open a new exhibit this month. The result of planning, design, and curatorial work over years to include recognition of Sally Hemings and the role enslavement played in Thomas Jefferson's life. The research completed, ready to go. But now that was taken out as well as a result of this new administration, correct?
That is correct. And to your point, it is even more, shocking that the capitulation of so much of mainstream media, and their fear of reporting on this story. It's a few of them have stepped up, but we have seen some really, really honestly frightening stepping away from, the publishing of this story. But thankfully, Onyx Impact is determined to find and move information to Black folks where they are. And we've had, well over 2 million engagements on social media of the Blackout content since our launch. And so we encourage folks to go visit our social media pages at The Onyx Impact, visit the report, blackoutreport.org to learn more and to share the information that we're pushing every single day.
The U.S. Naval Academy pulled 381 books from its library shelves after the Defense Secretary ordered the removal of titles that promote DEI. Mm-hmm. The Academy later restored many of those titles. Meanwhile, the Department of Defense has schools banned 596 books. 21 states have engaged in 591 instances of banning books by Black authors and books discussing race. At the beginning of this report, you mention how this is somewhat similar to the Reconstruction era, or the era after Reconstruction. Why so? Why do you say that?
I think when you look at the era of Reconstruction and you look at the incredible amounts of black progress that we saw during that era, the number of Black folks that we were able to get, elected to Congress, the number of schools that we created, hundreds of thousands of Black men, registered to vote after the 15th Amendment. What happened, the nadir was such a fierce and aggressive and fast backlash that where we saw textbooks rewriting history, we saw that's when we saw this nadir was when we saw all of these monuments erected glorifying the Confederacy and silencing Black voices. Again, the goals were clear: limit Black power, rewrite historical narratives, and most importantly, reassert control. This is about gaining illegitimate power and control. And we know that it wasn't until post Jim Crow, the civil rights movement, that we were able to claw back and move forward on some of those gains. But it's no surprise that we're seeing all of this erasure, all of this deletion, all of this oppression at the same time, where we're fighting for the last remnants of the Voting Rights Act, right? If the Supreme Court decides to gut the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, the one political party will gain 19 seats overnight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is this is a five alarm fire, really. And that's why we needed to put this report out and show the actual real world costs of what is happening.
No, most certainly, folks. And for those who don't know, and many don't Isosa of Onyx Impact with us, folks. Your calls too, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. For those who don't know, because our history is being erased, a lot of young people don't know, when Isosa mentions the nadir, that is known as the lowest point in race relations in history, the period approximately from the end of Reconstruction around 1885, 1887 to the 1920s. And a lot of times we look at the 1920s and the Jazz Age and the Harlem Renaissance, all of those things were going on in spite of the nadir. In fact, there's an argument to be made that our creativity thrived even more and was even stronger in the face of the nadir. The other name for that period, especially before the 1900s, is known as Reclamation. We went from Reconstruction to Reclamation. Federal troops left the South, and the South was reclaimed by those who lost it in the Lost Cause, also known as the Civil War. Folks, your calls at 202-588-0893 is the number to call. We've talked a bit about erasure. I want to, the other tactic, the other op that is being run on us is to distort. Talk to us about that one, if you would, Isosa. What do we mean when we say distort?
Yes, distortion is by far, you know, the largest component of our database, with over 14,000 examples of swapping out evidence for ideology. This is, you know, fundamentally rewriting grants, rewriting all types of evidence, distorting data sets, the manipulation and deletion of over 6,000 Black data sets, slashing of funding, but the moving of that funding to other priorities for you know, communities that the administration wants to gain illegitimate power and control. And so this effort seeks to distort, you know, both what is remembered and what is possible for Black communities. If you fundamentally delete over 6,000, you know, data sets that include Black information, right, you are erasing that data. As I said before, you're hiding the proof of discrimination. You're hiding the proof of inequality, and therefore you're preventing any type of remedy, right? That is the goal of so much of this distortion.
And when we're talking about data sets, just folks, so we're clear, we're talking about any information, talking about data that will determine what resources may or may not be necessary in a given community. And in this case, the Black community.
That is correct. That is correct. When you delete data sets on, you know, maternal mortality health, right? You're deleting the data, the information that shows the stark amount, the difference between Black maternal mortality rates and white maternal mortality rates, right? And you're deleting and erasing where potential resources can go. And so, to your point, exactly, this is not just about the erasure that we talked about, the rewriting of the past. We are shaping who has the power, who has resources, and who has visibility in America, not just today, but tomorrow. And I want to be super clear that this is their strategy. They're using the attacks on this term DEI, as long as they can convince us that this is about corporate classes that suck, right? They can eliminate $11 million to Howard University, as long as they can convince us that this is about corporate classes that suck. They can slash $23.7 million to address lead in water in Black communities, right? They are using this culture war as a distraction to engage in one of the most aggressive power grabs that we've seen since the reclamation.
Terminated, and targeted, terminated, and frozen. 13 federal grants totaling over $9.4 million for sickle cell disease. 90% folk who have sickle cell look like us, y'all.
And to that point, you know, that is one of the statistics that is most enraging to me. My little brother suffers from sickle cell disease, right? I have watched him suffer for years and be the most courageous person that I know, right? And this is a rare blood disorder. $10 million is an extraordinary amount of money in research for rare blood disorders, right? And to not just erase that, but to say that you're doing it because it is some kind of woke funding for sickle cell disease, to say that it doesn't have enough return on investment, right, is shameful.
Right. I see the callers, folks. I want to get a little bit more of this on the record. Cuts include $16.5 million for projects that prevent flooding in predominantly Black neighborhoods. That's one area. $31 million a cut to address high asthma rates for Black kids and reduce air pollution in Black communities. $23.7 million cut to fix unsafe drinking water and reduce childhood lead exposure in Black communities. As if, you know, that's just woke policy. 18 NIH grants totaling $42 million dedicated to addressing maternal mortality, all right? At least 16 NIH grants terminated, totaling $37 million for research into cancer, prostate cancer, and colon cancer for Black men, of which we are 40% more likely to die from. Historically Black colleges and universities, HBCUs have lost at least $210 million in grant funding in just the first 8 months. The NSF alone eliminated more than $11 million in grants at Howard University, the only HBCU classified as a level one research university. Let me go keep going. $2.9 million of funding for a center at Morehouse College, focusing on the improvement on improving the health of Black pregnant women, was canceled, as was $1.2 million of funding to increase Black enrollment. Let me pause there. The administration sent out some announcement that they were giving more money to HBCUs, but that's more disinformation, is it not?
What they're doing is distorting reality. Again, this is what they are, and they're putting HBCUs in a very precarious situation because they get so much more of their funding from federal government than other institutions. And so when you slash $210 million from programs and then, you know, from HBCUs, and then pretend to give additional funding to HBCUs, and for that additional funding to come from the cutting K through 12 Black education, right? They are literally playing with our lives. They are playing with our education. They are forcing HBCUs to take money from cuts to K through 12 Black education.
BlackoutReport.org. T, God bless you. You're on the air with Isosa Osa of Onyx Impact. We're talking about BlackoutReport.org. Go right ahead, T.
Yeah, I like the way you put it at the beginning of your program. We're in an information war. And I think that I have a couple questions that I'd like you to detail where I can get this information. One of the reasons I wanted is because sometimes we don't answer things that are obvious informational problems. I don't know who this guy who got killed was, Charlie something or other. But on YouTube, I heard some of the things he was saying, and I'm struck by the fact that nobody disputed some of this stuff. If he's feeling like he's uneasy if he sees a black pilot, despite the fact of the excellence of the pilots in World War II, and because since 1967, when they first allowed black commercial pilots, there have been zero accidents caused by black pilots. And nobody knows this. Why is it not even? It's an information war, and it's to keep the feeling of white supremacy going. So we look for them to credential us and to, we look for their praise and their whatever or something, and that's just the way it is. That's the reason why I knew Bill Cosby back in the 80s was going to get attacked, because he tried to buy NBC. There is an information war, and there's a war to keep control of information, and that's why you saw TikTok being banned after they showed Israeli helicopters or drones hunting down kids. And they put this on, instead of them talking about the wrong Israeli was doing, they were talking about how they need to get rid of it and make it under American control, or under racist control. It just is the way it is in this country. But I like to, rather than have these impressions of my own, I'd like to get more. So if you could...
Blackoutreport.org. Blackoutreport.org. Everything we're sharing with you is right there. Okay, so go straight to the website and you'll see it.
I hope that I'll inspire people to fight for this information to remain.
Well, before we go, we're gonna leave here with some assignments. We're gonna talk about what people need to be doing to get this information out, and Esosa can probably read my mind. I'm leading up to something that we all ought to think about, but we'll get there. Stay with us, T. Rick, God bless you. You're on there with Esosa Osa. Thanks for your call, T. Go right ahead, Rick. Rick, you in Germany, I presume. It's Rick from Germany, as usual.
This is Rick from Germany. And can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, I would like to ask, in light of black military...
He dropped.
All right. Yeah, I see.
I'll wait for him to call back.
Okay, yeah, if he calls back, let us know. Folks, I want to keep moving. We don't have a lot of time left. But if you're watching this on social media, make it plain on YouTube or Minister on Instagram. Speaking of TikTok, my personal TikTok exists, but they banned my show, Make It Plain TikTok, y'all, because of the segment you all remember that Joy Reid and I did on some of these election anomalies. All right, just want to let folks know that. So when we try and expose this information, folks freak out. So let's touch on something that's important that's come up in the distortion tactic. Targeting black women in the federal workforce is also, and then we'll move on to suppression. But talk to us and how that manifests in the distortion tactic.
Yes, absolutely. We see... again, 306,000 black women who were employed in February of this year are no longer employed. In addition, we are seeing, as relates to black communities overall, the highest unemployment rate, right, since 2021. And this is because, right, black communities are disproportionately represented in various government jobs and government agencies, right? And so again, when you it's not just, oh, we're going to cut waste from the government. It's, oh, we're going to really target the specific agencies where we know that there's a disproportionate amount of folks that you know are not our main audience, if you will.
There's also the one other area that Onyx Impact looks at, folks, blackoutreport.org. Talk to us, if you would, about stripping Black businesses of support.
Absolutely. This is another example of, how the real world costs. This isn't just about, photos or statues. When you're eliminating potentially billions of dollars from Black grants, Black contracts, right? That a lot of Black businesses rely on. To be clear, an extraordinary number, way more white businesses rely on, right? Government contracts in general are such a mainstay way to generate wealth. It's how so much white wealth has been generated in this country, right? And so to specifically cut the Small Business Administration's commitment to Black and minority-owned businesses, right? Again, this is not just harming us right now. This is creating a manipulated hierarchy in the future. So in the future, when we have, far more of one type of business do well and far fewer of another, right? They're going to look back and say, oh, well, that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Small Business Administration in January slashed its commitment to Black and minority-owned businesses, folks. It has set a goal in previous years of awarding 15% of federal contracting dollars to historically disadvantaged businesses. The current administration cut that goal to 5%, the absolute minimum allowed by law, and it also gutted the Minority Business Development Agency, which has been around for over 50 years. So this is a way to suppress Black economic health. And Isosa is right. Folks think that the white middle class just appeared on its own, or that everybody got what Donald Trump got. But the white middle class and white businesses, which helped develop the middle class, got contracting dollars. That's how this little red wagon goes, y'all. Don't be naive about that. They didn't just, fall. They didn't just come from up under the cabbage patch with money. Rick, we're going to try you again. Are you back with us? God bless you, Rick.
No, Rick's not first.
It's Alberta.
All right, okay. Alberta, go right ahead. I'm sorry. God bless you, Alberta.
Yes. Thank you, Mark. How are you?
Fine. You're on there with say hello to Isosa.
Yes. Thank you. And good morning to your guest. Now, Mark, my concern is about the shutdown, but it's right that he is trying to eliminate Black people's progress. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind about that. But what this shutdown is about, according to both sides, from Schulman's side and from Johnson's side, Schulman is saying that that Johnson is attacking the health care that's there. But Johnson is saying that they're ready to negotiate and open up the government if Schulman would stop caving in and wanting on this package undocumented people here that's not legal, like legal Americans, to get health care. Schulman is keeping the government shut down because he's not going to give in to Johnson saying that those people are not documented yet. They have to be legal. And Schulman refuses. He's saying, no, he wants his whole package, all this the extreme leftist way, even in that. And that's what's messing the Democrats up. They're not going to give in to them, what they're doing. They want the left, the extreme left, to take over. And that's
Albert, that's not. First of all, his name is Schumer. Two, the Republicans can end the shutdown with or without the Democrats. This is their shutdown. This is something they're maintaining. And Mike Johnson really doesn't want to convene Congress anyway, because there may be enough votes for the Epstein files. So there's a lot more here than meets the eye. The Democrats are not the ones holding the government hostage. It's the Republicans and it's Trump, and they have no interest. And let me just say this, and then I'm going to move on. as ESOSA and blackeyereport.org has indicated, we're in another moment of Reconstruction. The biggest enemy during Reconstruction and the biggest enemy during the Nadir was ESOSA, the federal government, because the federal government is what waged the institution which waged war against the Confederacy and won the war. The federal government is the Union government. And these guys, that's why they all in the 10th Amendment of States' Rights. They don't really want the federal government. I spoke to some relatives last night who worked for the federal government, didn't get paid this weekend, went without their paycheck. And I said to them, I don't know that he ever wants it to reopen. If they could keep it closed forever, they probably would. So it's not about immigration and health care for undocumented immigrants. It's about them, because not only was the federal government and the Union government the government that prosecuted the war against the Confederacy, it also, over time, especially over the past 60, 70 years, been the institution that most defended civil rights protections. Most defended all of it. It was, we couldn't get justice in state courts and state houses. So it was the federal government and the Supreme Court. Now all of that's turned up. Supreme Court is not our ally anymore. They want to get rid of voting rights. But that's where it was. That's where it was housed. Rick, we got you back. God bless you. I got to move quickly. Rick, not a lot of time.
I would just say for that, I would just say for that, that I guess that, you know, it is illegal for undocumented people to gain any type of federal health care from the government. It is, it has been, it, and that is going to remain, and that is not at all a part of the shutdown. And I think that if you were, this is another, this is how they distract, how they distort, and it's unfortunate, because if you were to just Google, you know, that question, you would see fact checks from NBC News, from the AP, from Georgetown University, from NPR, all saying that this claim, from PolitiFact, from CBS, saying that this claim is fundamentally false.
Rick, real quick, I got to move on. God bless you, Rick. You're back on with ESOSA. You with us now?
Yes, sir. I just want to ask how they're treating the rank and file Black military personnel.
ESOSA, what do we know about that?
You mean at this moment?
You mean shut down, Rick, or in general over the 9 months?
So
dismissing leadership, Black leadership in the military. And I want to know if they're dismissing rank and file Black service members as well.
I don't have data on the Black service members being dismissed, but I do, to your point, you saw that one of the first dismissals of the administration was General Charles Q. Brown Jr., the first Black man to hold the position of chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You saw that General Cedric T. Wins was retired in March, the Virginia Military Institute's first Black superintendent. You saw, top U.S. Military commanders I think over 60 military generals total removed, and a number of them African American. So I think, again, there's no specific military numbers are often, that aren't political appointees, are often very difficult to find and disclose. But I think you can assume that, again, this broader DEI disinformation campaign is being waged at every single level of government.
Thank you, Rick. Real quick, and we're going to get out of here, and I appreciate your time, ESOSA. This is very important. Folks, go to blackeyereport.org. The third tactic is suppression. Summarize that one, if you would, please.
Absolutely. This is, these tactics of intimidation, of pressure on our institutions, on our local governments, on our our leaders to push folks into either silence or compliance. And we have seen, you know, the shocking speed at which our institutions are willing to use Black folks as a scapegoat to prevent any additional retaliation from the government. We've seen, and this level of this intimidation has included 63 different types of government threats and investigations. I think it doesn't even include, you know, what we've seen most recently with Tish James. And again, every single day there are more and more and more of these. God forbid a black woman tried to buy a house, right? They are immediately investigated. And so this is what is quieting universities. This is what is quieting businesses, institutions from any attempt to rectify past harms or provide just simple equity. We're talking about fairness, right? Part of the Constitution, and they've been able to intimidate and threaten so many of our quote unquote institutions into mass capitulation.
Yeah, and people unfortunately came. Some are standing strong, like the president of George Mason, and elsewhere. So you can't even buy a house. You can't do anything. The attacks on the on Breonna Taylor, as a matter of fact, these things are ongoing. Folks, blackoutreport.org. What, and we'll close with this, Esosa. In addition to sharing this information, which we invite everyone to do, what else would you have people do? And how does this impact what you and I have talked about cumulatively? And that's these very serious disinformation warfare on social media itself, which we do not control, which targets us more than anyone else. You know, with all due respect to Alverda saw that somewhere, know, and she repeated it. God bless you, Alverda. But I mean, that's why we got to be clear on what we're seeing. What would you have us do? And what infrastructure are we developing to combat this, even on social media, which is taking out a lot of our young people?
Absolutely. I highly recommend people, you know, go to follow, be a part of Black-owned social media apps like Spill, like Fanbase. Those are great options. I think that there is, you know, we know that disinformation works on everybody, right? Because the more times you hear something, the more likely you are to believe it's true. And that's why it's so important in this current online landscape to find and share this type of content, to share the truth, to make sure that people see it over and over and over again. And so that is our first. And second, we know that we only were able to find a fraction of the harms. Of 15,723 is just a fraction. And so we have, you know, a evidence form for folks on the site to be able to submit their observed and provable impact points to the report. And lastly, we want folks to... We provided the receipts for y'all. That's one of the things he wanted to do. And so there's a need to advocate locally, to advocate in your workplace, to advocate in your government. And don't let folks say that this is about, you know, some corporate class that sucks, or this is about something that is only helping non-Black people. At the end of the day, the people who they are hurting, the people who the folks that are being the programs that are being slashed and cut are programs that are investments in Black communities. And so we need to make sure that we can tell that case over and over and over again, because, you know, no matter what they try to do, no matter their tactics of disinformation, of distraction, I think of erasure, I think that Black excellence is fundamentally unerasable.
And as a matter of fact, folks, if you go to blackoutreport.org, there is the blackout evidence form, the blackout report index. Encourage your institutions, journalistic, academic, elsewhere, even our faith institutions, to share this information. so that we can be aware of what is going on, support the Black press, as a matter of fact. And we're right. sharing this broadly with the Black press and expect coverage. But folks, this is very important. And I want to thank Onyx Impact and Isosa Osa for sharing this report, for producing this report. This is absolutely important. And this is just the beginning. And if we're not careful, it's going to get even worse. We can't get to a place where we just become so numb or so disconnected. And because the other thing they do, Isosa, they flood the zone.
That's right.
So you don't know what to believe.
That's correct.
You know what's real. Well, what are Mark and Isosa talking about? That has that real, you know, it just, but here is a report. See it for yourself. That's why I shared the website right away, blackoutreport.org. Look at it, share it, share it with amongst your families. Post it to your own social media. Don't just wait on somebody else to post something. You are an influence. Everybody is an influencer. So share this on your own social media as well. Isosa, we so appreciate you being here with us for this extended time on Make It Plain. Sorry to take up your whole morning, but I thought it important.
Always, thank you.
And you'll be hearing more from me and other members of the Black press and others, because we want to be sure that this is disseminated widely. And I presume this research you all are doing will be ongoing?
We are working to partner with institutions to try to make sure that this work is going to continue to keep going, because at the end of the day, somebody needs to make sure that they are documenting all of these evidence points.
And there's the evidence document too, folks, the evidence report. There are things some of you may know that we don't know. So let's document all of it. Blackoutreport.org, blackoutreport.org. Dear sister, we thank you, okay?
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Always appreciate you being here with us on Make It Plain. Folks, this is a very urgent and important conversation right now. It is the most important conversation we can be having in this moment of nadir, in this moment of a new era when it comes to reclamation and the attacks on our people. And that's why we do it here. We appreciate all of you being here and listening and sharing. Again, once again, blackoutreport.org, blackoutreport.org to find out more. This only scratches the surface. 15,723 documented impact points putting Black health, wealth, and futures on the line. This is a comprehensive report, really the first of its kind in this era of Trump and this new iteration, if you will, of Reconstruction. So we got to be concerned. If all minds are clear, it has been made plain.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.